Hello and welcome to episode 398 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is February 26, 2024. I am Rollo McFlugel, and with me is my co-host Slappy Jones. Show notes page for this episode will be McFlugel.com/398. And this is also going to be Get On Zero episode number 38. I think it's a good day, week, whatever, to just kind of just rehash why we're doing all this. A few weeks ago, Jack Mallers did just a fantastic episode, podcast episode on his show. Was it Money Matters? Is that what it's called?
I think that's what it's called, something like that. Relatively new show, handful of episodes.
Yeah, I've listened to a couple of them. It's really good. And this one he did talking about how he's just going all in on Bitcoin was really, really good. I think we talked about it on the show, but
probably.
Yeah, I just kind of want to off that. It's been a while. It's been like a month since he did that or so. So I might inadvertently just say everything that he said, but.
But better.
Yeah, no. But if I do, I think that's a good thing because he just said everything so perfectly. I think I was saying it to you. It's that this is our 38th Get On Zero episode, and we've, you know, hours and hours of content on Get On Zero and everything. And even if we're not doing a explicitly Get On Zero episode, we're talking about Bitcoin and related to using it as your money. And it's so funny how many words and how much time it takes for us to try to explain why we're doing something.
And well, he had the Jack, benefit of listening to it.
Yes. And Jack just like made it all make sense in like four sentences. So kudos to him. And he's also building tools that actually make it worthwhile too. But I don't know, like today the prices shot up a lot. I don't know if you've looked at it today, Slappy, but I think there's like rumors that Jeff Bezos.
Hey-o.
You haven't seen it yet?
54.7.
Yeah.
It was like 51 this morning when I woke up.
Yep. Yeah, we're bouncing around.
I did check it in the morning because I've been waiting for this. waiting for this. You know what I mean? It's like it's been at like 51. Yeah, so I can sell. It's been around 51, 52 for like, I don't know, a week or two, maybe 3 weeks. I don't know how long it's been. It's funny. According to my chart, about a week, a little less than 2 weeks. It's kind of been here.
Which funny because that feels like that's forever, but a month ago it was like 42.
No, that's where I was going with this. A month ago, literally, which is not a long time, it was 41. This is according to my Cash App. It was like 41.8 on January 28th.
Yeah.
And now we're up to 54.7. And it was hovering around 51, 52 for like 2 weeks. Just not a whole lot of movement up or down. So I knew one day I'm going to wake up and it's going to be up $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000, whatever. I just didn't know when. So that's a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, do you remember back during the, I guess, 2017 run-up? Where it would go from like 2,000 to 2,500 in a day?
I remember driving home from work and telling Mrs. Jones, like, you won't believe this. You know, that crazy stuff I've been talking about? Like, it just went up another $1,000.
Yeah, over a week.
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible. And now, of course, you know, at that time, I thought we were just on our way. I mean, I guess technically we are. But at that time, I thought it was on its march to $1 million.
Right.
Like, I just didn't know where this was going to stop. And people are going to get it and they're going to understand it. And it's going to take over because it was, and, you know, leading up to that part, It remember when did it first hit $1,000? 2013-ish.
Yeah, I think it hit like 1,200.
And then it went all the way back down into the 200s and slowly between 2 and 600, 500 in that range for like a couple of years. And then it just shot up and it was like, this stuff is $8,000.
It's wild.
Days.
It's wild. And fortunately, we're here for it and we're all in for it. And so,
which is funny, like, just one more point on that. I mean, we were talking about a week seeming like a long time. 2017 sounds like, feels like forever ago.
Right.
I mean, it is a long time ago. But,
yeah, I was just going to say it's 7 years ago.
But that's not like, that's a long time. But I mean, I feel like I was in college not that long ago.
Right.
So it was a lot longer than that. You know what I mean? Like, it's a long time, but it's not a long time. And what has changed in Bitcoin in that 7 years is like monumental. And just think 7 years from now.
We reflect on these kind of where are we going to be? It's, we reflect on these kinds of things a lot, because if you talk about, you know, like scaling stuff with Bitcoin, you know, Lightning Network was it even a thing in 2017? I don't remember.
I mean, I'm not like the technical guru. I certainly wasn't aware of it if it was.
Right. I forget when that white paper came. It was probably around then. But all these things and others, all these other things going on, and just thinking about how the media would talk about Bitcoin, and not only how they would talk about it, but how mainstream it would be, that we have a country where Bitcoin is legal tender in El Salvador. And
I mean, I remember, because in the industry I'm in, I would talk to a lot of financial advisors. I bring it up occasionally. I remember someone telling me, like, what do you think of Bitcoin? It's like, well, I never recommend investing in putting all your money in a single stock. Like, you know, the guy had heard of Bitcoin, but had no idea what it was.
Right. Yeah, I'm just not even interested in really. I say that I am. I would debate anybody and talk about it all the time. But talking to, you know, like a traditional money manager or something, financial guy, it's just kind of like, because we've talked about it before, it's, you got to throw everything on its head.
Yeah, and my point in that is, at the time, it was like we had been in Bitcoin for a little while, and so if you found someone who knew what Bitcoin was, it was kind of cool. My point is, like, today, everyone kind of at least knows what it is.
Right.
Like, there's no one out there who's never heard of it. They might not understand it, but they know it's supposed to be a digital currency, not a stock of a company.
Right. Well, not only that, but I mean, we have the ETFs now, and MicroStrategy just continues to keep buying it, and they're going to be listed on the S&P 500.
Yeah.
And so to kind of tie when we had Carr back on a few weeks ago, how the boomers are going to win, and it's just that, things are just gonna, all right, so you just have that S&P and 500 index fund, congratulations, you're now exposed to Bitcoin. It's just gonna become more and more normalized. And here's a tweet from Preston Pish that Carr sent me today. The MicroStrategy treasury 193,000 Bitcoin jumped in fiat value by 470,727,000 USD since 5 hours ago. If the software business makes 75 million per year, that means 6.3 years of work by the entire company, which was potentially captured in just 5 hours. Things are getting spicy out here. And then this guy, Berry Horse, quote tweeted that, which I think is the more interesting tweet. He says, imagine telling the entire world the strategy you're employing in real time with hundreds of hours of robust, eloquent, and irrefutable justification about why it will work. It then overwhelmingly working by any reasonable measure, and people still being skeptical to employ that strategy. We're so effing early, LOL.
Yeah.
It's why I was texting a lot with Carr today, and I made the comment to him saying, because I mean, I don't know what you think about this, but I think the games, and we've been saying this for a while, but I think we're just getting proven right. The game's like basically over, in the sense that obviously I don't mean to say that like, oh, we don't have to, you know, we don't have to do anything. No, like us continuing to be bullish on Bitcoin and trying to use it as our money and getting other people to see that it's useful to be their money, that's doing something. So as long as we're still acting on the incentives that Bitcoin provides us, we're doing something. But in the sense that like those incentives are going to get destroyed or go away, I think the genie's out of the bottle, and it's been like that for a while. It's kind of like, you know how the zombie movies, it gets to the point in a movie where they realize that the virus is in the zombie virus is already in everyone, even if they're not showing, if they're not zombies yet. I think that's kind of pretty much where we're at now, or at least getting very close to it.
Yeah.
Is that you're just not going to escape it. I mean, this is the economic reality of how money works. It absorbs everything else. It just takes over. And unless you can find a money that's better, you're just not going to stop it. So I'll throw some caution out there, just in the sense that, you know, individuals can be soft targets, but Bitcoin's super hard, and you're just not going to defeat Bitcoin. There's just, it's especially, you know, with governments now, you can't, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when other companies start putting money into Bitcoin too, like MicroStrategy is doing, and more companies in the S&P 500 and other things like that start putting it on their balance sheets and buying, soaking up these ETFs and stuff, and, you know, gaining a lot of wealth and security because of that. And then the government's like, oh, actually, we want to do away with this. They're just going to say no. Like, you're not going to get elected next time. If you try to do this, like, you're done, and we'll put someone in that's not going to be aggressive like that. It's kind of funny. We always talk about how big business writes the rules the government enacts, but somehow the state's going to, like, the genie's going to go back in the bottle for this.
Yeah.
And they're just not going to protect the thing that's doing so much good for them.
I wonder how many, and maybe it's none because you have certain requirements of a financial reporting, but I wonder how many of these large companies do have Bitcoin and just haven't, like, been as public about it.
Yeah, I don't
certainly
know.
I'm sure the executives, I would imagine a lot of them have some significant amounts.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you not? If you're a guy with, you know, $10 million in assets, and you're watching the stuff go down, and if you got $10 million in assets, you're probably have a lot of stuff. I don't know. You're paying attention to the tea leaves, if you will.
I mean, yeah, because these guys, like, you don't, I should be careful how I say it. But most people who get that wealthy are relatively smart. You know, there's probably a lot of luck involved, but, you know, luck is being in the right place at the right time, and you got to put yourself there. But a lot of these guys are intelligent. And even if they don't believe in Bitcoin, they're probably hedging.
Right.
Like hedging in the sense like, I'm not an idiot. Like they might go out publicly and say Bitcoin's stupid. It's never going to take off. It can't be a money. But in the back of their mind, they got to be thinking this was, you know, nothing. And now it's something. I'm going to buy some just in case.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why I was holding it in the beginning. It was a I bought it as a hedge. I didn't really understand it. I didn't understand monetary economics. But I said, well, if the state goes a little bit crazy with printing money, then all right, there's a thing that's, take it. Right. Then
that certainly weighed into what I was doing. I was just thinking, like, it's not, you know, it was like the anarchist in me, like, yeah, it's not the Fed. It's being used. Look, people are buying stuff. I want to get it.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
But yeah, but if you're the hedge.
Yeah, if you're trying to protect, you know, a huge nest egg like that, then you're gonna be looking at it. And especially now with all the attention it's getting and better understanding and more information out there and better access to it. You don't have to go on only Coinbase. Like that was the only show in town for us when we started. And you've got other like people that are credible out there. You've got, you know, the president of a country, Bukele, talking about it. You've got the CEO of a major company with Michael Saylor talking about it a lot. And just it's on CNBC and all those finance shows and the news all the time. It's here. Like, I think you're like just an idiot at this point if you look at Bitcoin and just go, oh, that's so stupid. And if you do act that way, you're going to get wrecked and you kind of deserve it. I don't know what else to say. That's if you like utterly refuse to touch it at all and you go out of your way. Go out of your way to avoid it in every possible situation. But it's going to be even difficult to do that because it's just going to be, even if you make normie investments, you're going to be touching it one way or the other. So, you know, we started this. Getting close to 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
It was October of 2021. And it was basically at the all-time high of like 65,000. And we proved that Get On Zero worked because we did it through the biggest downturn as far as the largest downturn in Bitcoin's price ever,
right?
Because it went from its all-time high down, yeah,
to like its 2017 level.
I'm not talking about like percent. I don't know if it's like,
well, the percentage went from like 1,000 down to 100, but like,
yeah,
I think you're right. At least dollars for sure.
Yeah. So, and that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wrote it down from the all-time high all the way down to $16,000 or $17,000, whatever it was. And we all came out of that being like, this was the right move. We made the right choice by doing this. Because we were smart and we had positive cash flows and we were in dollar terms, at least during that time, net savers. And so, and not even a net saver all the time. We went through this a few weeks ago where I ran the numbers And you know, there's some months where you end up spending more than you bring in, but overall, it's, you know, over the course of a year or, and you know, some sort of longer period, you know, you should be try to be a net saver. And so we did that, and we ended up, I think, with more Bitcoin than we would have using other strategies. Because the beauty of it is that as you're going down in price, yeah, okay, so I got paid this week. Next week I gotta, or 2 weeks I gotta sell some Bitcoin, but the price went down on me. But if the price keeps going down, then in 2 weeks when I'm getting paid again, I'm getting even cheaper Bitcoin than when the place where I sold it. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the price going down is just all bad. Yeah, you're taking advantage of that dropping price when you're getting paid. So that's pretty cool. And then during that, you know, there's the whole, oh, you got to pay capital gains when you do that. It's funny, people, a lot of times with the critique of it, it's like, well, the price is going to go down on you, you're going to get wrecked. And then on the other hand, but you're going to have to pay capital gains. So, well, which is it? Because those two can't be true at the same time. But what was good about getting on zero at that all-time high and riding that down was that first year of doing it, and even with last year doing it, I could do it again, was that I accumulated a lot of losses. I was able to pay a little bit less in taxes because of those losses. And then I'm carrying all those losses through indefinitely until I use it up. And so I think the timing of us doing it was pretty good, because I have a lot of capital losses that I can carry over for as long as I need or want it to. So even if you started on zero at the lowest price, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's better than doing it today, but you were able to, you know, take advantage of all that appreciation. But, you know, you're going to pay taxes on it, which isn't great, but it is what it is. Whereas those of us that started early and wrote it down, I mean, we're not paying taxes on this price going up, really. So it's funny, because, man, like, we just took so much crap from so many people about this.
So many people.
And it worked. Like, exactly the way we said it would. Because we said, okay, the price might go down, but it's not going to go to zero. So as long as you can stay solvent, which is pretty much that your positive cash flow, you're going to win. And it's pretty neat to see over, you know, the course of a month, the price of Bitcoin, you know, going up, and you have like a 30-something% increase over a month. You know, if you do your budget, like, so I do my budgeting where my previous month's pay, or this, I'll put it this way, this month's pay pays for next month's expenses. And so you're not ever living paycheck to paycheck that way. And I just got like a 30% bonus this month. And I see what like the improvement in my purchasing power does when, as the price is going up, and it's like, wow, that's pretty good. And as the price, I mean, and we're just not even touching what Bitcoin's probably going to be doing. it's going to absolutely rip people's faces off. And when that really hits, and it's already been really, really good so far, but when that really goes up, the people that are all in on Bitcoin are going to really, really get the economic benefits of that. And so with like all these problems going on around us, and we see this clown world and all this kind of stuff going on, obviously money doesn't solve all your problems, but it sure helps. You know, let's say you're in a bad job or something, and you really hate it and you want to get out of it, but you need the job because it's, you're living day to day, or you can't afford to get fired or leave it if you get fed up too much from it, because you got to find another job. I mean, the price running up and you building like a big safety net for yourself or emergency fund, that could be huge for someone. Or someone's living in a bad neighborhood and wants to get out, and all of a sudden, you know, Bitcoin allows them to do that because of their savings is appreciated in value so much. I mean, it's a huge thing. I mean, the big thing on Bitcoin Twitter, or not Bitcoin Twitter, but Libertarian Twitter right now, which I've obviously participated in. We spent a little bit of time on the podcast last week talking about it. It's like this immigration stuff and what are we going to do, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Let's say that you think that there's like an immigration crisis, and no matter what side of the solution you want to be on, would you rather deal with that problem with more wealth or less wealth? I think the answer's obviously more. You know, whatever's going on with craziness. I'm not even talking about doing anything drastic, but yeah, just as things get more expensive and crazy, you're going to maintain your purchasing power, and you're not going to have to like beg the state basically to solve your problems or look to them and just kind of feel lost and feel like you need to go convince people of your side for your argument to make this make this stuff go away or whatever. You just command more resources and you just solve problems because you want to solve the problem. I don't know if I'm like connecting the dots on that very well, but I don't think it's that much of a stretch to be able to say the more resources to command, you know, the more leverage you have in the world. And the more problems you can solve for yourself. And so that's why, too, I just think that staying in fiat, staying on the dollar, if you think that the state's going crazy and you're sick and tired of all this nonsense and craziness going on, like, why are you still participating in their system? Because, I mean, I correct me if I'm wrong, Slappy, but I think it's very obvious to me when you study it that the state has their power through control of the money system. They're not taxing us. It's funny, too, because we're in tax season now, and a bunch of my coworkers started doing their taxes, and hearing everyone freaking out about the taxes they owe and how it doesn't make sense, and they, you know, no one can figure out exactly what the rules are, but, or, you know, we have to pay all this money, and then it's just like, well, what in the world? Now people are saying stuff like, why are we even paying taxes when they just like print money all the time? So we have this system where we're just being like absolutely held down. by this inflationary system. The state wants to do something crazy, so they just print money to do it.
It's pretty insane.
Yeah. They do it off your back. They want to go bomb another country, they go print money to do it. And as a result, things get more expensive. And because they don't necessarily want people to see the sticker shock of inflation, things get just everything is lower quality. They replace a lot of stuff with cheaper knockoff stuff, ersatz. And so a lot of times, like, the food suffers. You're not getting as high quality food, or they're like putting sawdust in stuff as filler with no nutritional value, or there's just like goofy chemicals they're putting in stuff. It's more expensive, and sometimes really not all that even possible to like buy real food at the grocery store. So if you want to, you know, eat real meat, you got to go and find the farmer would kind of sell you directly, which they're out there. And what's nice with the internet and everything is you can have that shipped to you. But that's expensive up front. And if you don't have savings, you know, a lot of people aren't, you know, they don't have $1,000 or whatever it might cost to buy, you know, a quarter or an eighth of a cow or something that's going to feed them for a while. Or they can't afford to go out and buy a freezer to store it. And so you're just like trapped in this cycle of eating nasty stuff and buying lower quality stuff, and the lower quality stuff doesn't last as long. It doesn't solve your problems as well. And so you're constantly having to replace it and maintain it, and that's expensive. And so because of that, because you're just getting nickeled and dimed all the time, you can't save to actually save up to buy the nice thing. And you're not being fed well, so you don't have, like, you're not as healthy and have as good of energy to be able to work harder to get up ahead. And so you're just like fighting this just insane battle that you can't win unless you finally opt out and you say, I'm not playing your game anymore. I'm not using your money that makes me your slave. Because that's kind of what it is. Not kind of what it is. It is what it is. They treat you as cattle. That you're there. Your hard work. And you go and go and do your job to get paid, to make a salary, to earn a living, to provide for your family. They're extracting a lot of that value when they print money. They're not doing it through your permission.
It's not even the elected officials doing it.
Right. And so if you like, but now we have this tool, Bitcoin, that allows you to opt out. And so we say it's like, it's not by choice, but it's kind of becoming by your choice. You don't have to do it. And yeah, there's some risk. Okay, you're gonna take some risk if you go, you know, buy more Bitcoin or go all in on Bitcoin. That, you know, maybe something crazy, super crazy happens where the government bans it and your life becomes more difficult. Okay. There's a possibility that it, in the short term, the government could make your life more difficult if you have Bitcoin. But if you look at the alternative, if they're going to go that crazy, that they're going to make your life miserable if you have Bitcoin, what's life going to be like for those that don't have Bitcoin? If they're like actively trying to punish people who hold Bitcoin, how, like, what sort of alternative life do you think there's going to be? Do you think that you're like, oh, you have fiat that you're going to live this, like, oh, great life, and everything's going to be taken care of for you, and things are going to be good and stable and steady for you? No, if they have to go that psychotic in order to maintain their system, you're in a real bad spot anyway. So you might as well fight. And I say that as, and I think that that outcome is not very likely to happen, that they would be get like super aggressive, that you'd want to back off with holding Bitcoin. Not that they could, like, if they wanted to take it away from you, they'd have to knock on your door and, you know, basically put a bullet in your head. Which that sounds scary and everything, but if they want to stop you from transacting now, they call your bank and say, hey, bank, we don't want Slappy Jones to have access to his money anymore. And the bank's going to go, okay.
Turn that off. No questions asked.
Yep. So even in the case where the state goes absolutely psychotic, you still have a fighting shot with Bitcoin. You still have a chance. Or if you're still stuck in the fiat system, it's over. You're done. But again, I don't think that's a very with all the stuff we were talking about in the beginning with how bullish things are looking, I don't think that's the likely outcome. I think the likely outcome is that it's a real escape valve. And if you have Bitcoin, you can save, your purchasing power improves. And so while inflation's eating everyone's savings and wealth alive and they can't keep up with rising prices, as someone who's holding Bitcoin and using Bitcoin as their money, you're going to be able to sustain yourself through that. As prices are starting, as hyperinflation starts hitting, prices are going to start shooting up high. And we're not even saying, I'm not even trying to make the case that, like, oh, you're just going to be like this super wealthy guy if you hold Bitcoin or you're on zero. But, yeah, you're going to be able to feed your family like real beef. Most nights, whereas people that are staying on fiat, that's going to be kind of tough for them. You know, prices have been going up. I mean, I'm in a position because I'm single, and I can just eat how I want and not have to worry about, you know, the preferences of wife and kids and everything. I mean, I have my freezer stocked with the cow that we split, and we each have a hog, and I have a deer from a friend. And then from my garden, like, I pretty much sustain myself with like produce throughout the year with all like the canning I do and the storage. Now, that's not to say I'm not buying like incidentals and stuff and other things, but I mean, I go to the grocery store just to buy whatever odds and ends. And I'm like, how in the world did I spend $75 for like five things?
The grocery bill is absolutely insane.
Yeah, I can't imagine having a family where I'm buying everything that I have to eat for the week. Every week. Like, that's gotta hurt so bad.
Yeah, it's a lot. it's a lot.
But because we like saving, you know, we're able and you know, we have other circumstances. Even if I didn't have, you know, where we source our meat, yeah, we can go other places and do a similar thing and actually probably spend a little bit less than we do because we are like we buy that on like a micro scale for the guy who provides it. But we're eating real food.
Which, speaking of which, I already want to start looking for the next cow. So let me know if you got any leads.
Already?
A lot of males in here.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, I'm not like running out, but you generally don't buy these things next month, you know? It's like...
Yeah, I know.
Or at least maybe you do, but we don't.
Yeah, my freezer's pretty well stocked.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah, no, I still have plenty of meat. I'm not like running low, but I'm just thinking 6 months from now I will be.
Yeah. I cooked an eye roast yesterday.
How was it?
Very good. It was 4 pounds. I ate a third of it last night for dinner. Ate a third of it for lunch today, and I'll have the last third tomorrow for lunch.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But man, like you think about it, if I weren't using Bitcoin as my money, I don't think I'd be in like feeling. I'm not rich by any means. But I'm not like worried about money. And yeah, Bitcoin could hit another bear market.
Yeah.
But
you know, it's funny. It's funny because like we started the show talking about in 2017 when it was going up, like I thought it was going and just never going to stop. And it did. And then it went up again. It came down. It went up again. It came down. So it could come down again. But every time it goes up, it what's the right word I'm looking for? Gains more credibility or more people are on board and bigger people are on board. Like the first bull run, well, maybe the second, I guess, in 2017, we didn't have a giant corporation publicly out there promoting it.
Yeah, even, buying almost a tenth of the supply or 1% of the supply.
Yeah, like that wasn't around. It was, I don't know what drove that. Do you remember? Like, what did people say drove that to 17 back in 2017 or 18, whatever it did? Was that all individuals buying it? And there had to be some corporations. But it wasn't until after that that I really remember seeing companies publicly talk about having it. And they were generally small companies.
Yep.
And then the next one, it went up to 60 and then came back like down to 40 or 30 and then back up to 65 or something and down to 16. But every time it gains a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, you know,
so it could drop down to 30, 40, 20 again. Who knows? But
it's setting higher floors. Every time it is. A cycle. And so once again, we're going to have people, Bitcoin, you know, let's say it shoots up to $500,000 and it drops down to $200,000, and people are going to say, oh man, I bet you you're upset. It's like, yeah, I started at 65 whatever it was, and now it's three or four times as worth as much from that initial high point. I'm doing all right. How's your investments doing? Oh, you got 8% holding you know, index funds. Cool.
And I do think there is going to be a time, because as that price gets higher, the volatility is just not like, it's just going to be lower. You know, if you go from 600,000 to 500,000, you drop 100,000 bucks, but it's not as volatile as going from 60 down to 16. So it's eventually going to hit that point where it just takes off and just is high, and we're going to be happy that we did what, or I'm already happy we've been doing what we're doing, but
yep.
It gives me some peace of mind for the future. And of course the future is unknown. We don't know when it's going to do that. It could be doing it right now.
Yeah.
Like it might be on its way up right now and never coming down.
Yep. I mean, that that ties back into what I was saying earlier, that this is how monetary economics works. When there's a new money that is better than everything else, until there's something that destroys its hardness, it's going to just swallow everything up alive. And that's not just the dollar. It's also other things, because the dollar is such a bad store of value. It's the other stuff that has moneyness to it, like real estate and precious metals and all this
and
other
stuff.
And
someone wrote that article about beer.
Yeah. It's going to make beer a lot cheaper. No, but there's a lot of stuff out there, like the stock market and real estate are two of the big examples that people are using that as for its monetary properties, that it stores value, but it's not good money. And it's only doing that because the dollar is so bad at storing value. Once there's something that can do that without without having to not use those resources, because if you're trying to use something as a money thing, you're not really putting that much work for its primary function, like gold. Since gold is physical, like, you're storing gold away. You're not putting it into industrial purposes, because there's a lot of industrial purposes for gold. And if we could take all the gold in the world and put it into actual productive use instead of, you know, it's
which that's where monetary, it would go.
Right. That's going to be very good for everyone in the world. It's going to make us more productive. Same thing with like real estate and land. You're just like sitting on a piece of property because you think it's going to go up in value. Well, maybe there are better things for society because it's being used in a more productive capacity that earns the owner some income or wealth more directly, as opposed to just being like, well, I think the value is going to go up because anything that has some scarcity that I hold on to, it'll just increase in value because of the money printer. But as people find a better store of value, just because they could use money the way it's supposed to be used, which is savings and delaying gratification so that you can take care of unknowns that are going to happen at some point in the future, then it just sucks the value right out of those other things. And so I want to go back to talking about, you know, like fighting the state with this and fighting back. If we say, I'm done with this system, I'm done with this fiat, I'm not letting you extract value from my work and my wealth, you're taking some power away from the state. And what's also glorious about it is because before Bitcoin, if you wanted to stand up to the state and fight them, it's probably causing that probably is going to cost you wealth, or maybe even your freedom, because if you're doing something like that, there's a good chance that you wind up in jail for some reason, because you're standing up to the state and saying no. But with Bitcoin, what's so fantastic about it is that not only are you fighting the state and actively not letting it expand and actively harming its ability to maintain its power, but you're doing it in a way that, like, directly benefits you.
All right. I just checked the price again. It's at 56.7 now.
Did it really? So,
as we're talking, it's gone up like $2,000.
Holy smokes. Well, wow. We just got to keep being bullish on Bitcoin, Slappy. We're just going to marathon until. Yeah. We're going to keep going on this episode until we talk it up to the all-time high, until we get up to 100,000. So yeah. This is great because this is another. So, wow, it's. This weekend, let me find the tweet. Sorry. Uh, I was texting this with Carr. Over the weekend, I saw this tweet in my timeline. Oh, this is great. No one's... I got to reply now. Chris Hoddle and his laser-eyed psychopath. This was Sunday morning. I see this tweet. Last night, my dogs started barking. I ran out to not wake the baby and fell asleep on the couch. Checked the Bitcoin price and I see a $4,500 green candle. I'm like, holy poop emoji. Waking up this morning on the couch and wondering where the F is the $4,500 green candle. So trippy, LOL. I just replied, there's your candle. You're off by a day. But yeah, that's pretty wild. I have no idea what's triggering this price run up right now. I mean, that's a lot of money to be getting sucked into Bitcoin right now. How much have we gone up today?
Up like 10%. 5,000.
Yeah, 10%. Anyway. So started at, call it 51,000. And we're up to, so $5,500. What, there's like over 19 million Bitcoin. What's the circulating? How much Bitcoin is out there now?
I'm not sure. I'll take a look.
Call it 19.5 million Bitcoin. I think I'm under, but times 5,500.
Yeah, 19.6 million.
Okay. Let me go back and change that to 19.6 million. 1, 2, 3. Doing my math right. Okay. So divide by 1, 2, 3,000 million billion. That's $108 billion. That Bitcoin ate up today. And we're still so early.
When is the flippening happening?
You mean the havening?
Yeah.
Slappy just showed his hand.
Yeah.
Next episode, Slappy's going to say, there's this new thing called Bitcoin Cash.
SV.
Yes. Sometime in April, I think, is where it's currently showing. I don't know exactly the date. But yeah, I know it's easy to... I know a lot of people are going to do it because they think they missed the boat. They're going to say, oh, it's going to drop down again. It's going to drop down again. Okay. How many of those people say, I'm going to wait, or it's going to drop? Okay, you're going to be saying that when the price is higher, too. You're just going to keep saying that, waiting for it to drop. And it'll drop from, 90,000 down to 80,000. You go, look at that, $10,000 drop. I told you. That's what's funny, too. Back in 2017 or earlier, Bitcoin drops from 20,000 down to 10,000. That's the price gets cut in half. Whereas if Bitcoin dropped $10,000 now, let's see. We would be at February 9th's price. So this month. So yeah, maybe it'll drop by $10,000 right now, and that's fine. Bigger toys for bigger boys, I guess. So I don't know. We're almost at an hour.
Yeah.
At this point, any sort of semblance of structure we had of talking is totally gone. But the point of this episode was just to rally everybody up, get them excited, get them bullish. We should be unapologetic, shouting from the rooftops. Actually, I'm really not that. Like in my day to day life, I've backed off a lot.
I don't even mention it at work anymore. Like
I mentioned it.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I mentioned it this morning talking about taxes with my coworkers and money printing and everything. And so I have my Bitcoin coffee mug and I said, that's why I do this. But otherwise, it's just I just talk about it just because that's how I use it's my money.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of comes up and naturally for me without it being preachy or whatever. It's just kind of a matter of fact. And I have people, you know, talk to me about it. I have a couple friends out there sending messages. The good kind because they're asking questions, trying to figure out all sorts. That reminds me. I forgot to – this is bad because it's a priest friend. Had something about Bitcoin like last week. And the older I get, the worse at answering texts I'm getting.
I'm terrible at answering texts.
Yeah.
I'm a Luddite, so I'm anti-technology these days. I just put it in the drawer and don't pay attention.
Yeah. That's the way to do it.
Good or bad?
No, I mean, technology is useful. I mean, it's certainly good, but...
Bitcoin, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think a technology like Bitcoin kind of removes us from, along with other things, other, you know, disciplines and arranging your life in the correct way, but kind of removes the shackles of the dependency. And I don't mean dependency on like, you know, if the internet died tomorrow, I couldn't, it would stink. I couldn't really do my job very well and my life wouldn't be good. It's just like, oh, you're just so dependent on your car now. It's like, yeah, because that's the technology we use. Like technology is good and everything, but there's a difference between using technology as a useful tool and employing it a lot versus it being what's the word I'm trying to find? It's the reason why we do Lent. practice the disciplines and stuff to
penance, asceticisms, and
self-focusing. Yeah, because you want to break away from the dependencies on unhealthy dependencies on thing. Man, why am I blanking on this? But using it as a crutch and almost like an idol. And we all do it with all sorts of stuff. We have our little addictions with things.
Yeah.
Finding ourselves being disoriented in our lives because we let things not have their rightful places with everything. It's going to drive me crazy. As soon as we hit the stop recording button, I'm going to remember the word. But it's fine. So before I sit here and ramble on and on about not being able to figure out this word, that's all I got. So I don't know. Do you have any closing slots, Slappy?
No, just keep on going. If you listen to this podcast and you haven't bought Bitcoin, it might be a good time to.
Yeah,
really
consider going harder into it. I mean, at this point,
I mean, here's the thing. You never miss the boat. That's the thing with Bitcoin. Like, if the price goes up to $200,000 tomorrow morning and you're buying, you put your whole paycheck in, yeah, it's going to buy less Bitcoin, but that's your money now.
Yep.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it'll be nice for me and you because we have some now, but it's never a bad time to start. As you were saying, you proved it with the Get on Zero starting at 65 and all the way down. We're both better off than we were when it started, and we rode a huge price drop and never came off it.
That's a really good point about thinking that you're too late, because even if you got on now or the price, like, it's the likelihood that Bitcoin's going to fall to where it did that we went to is, I think, pretty low. We might have, you know, like a big drop and everything, but like, even if you got on, started doing it now, and the price just does exactly what it did over the last 2.5 years, we're sitting there high-fiving each other over how awesome of a decision that was. So, like, we unrisked your decision for you right now. Like, that, I think that's not something I really considered, you know, framing it that way.
It helps to have some to start, because let's say we wake up tomorrow and the price is $30,000 and you put your paycheck in today and it got cut almost in half. It's nice to have a little extra backstop there, but, you know, it's going to come back up. And then the next time you get paid, you're going to buy even more.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's not going to cut in half overnight, but yeah, just throwing that out there. We already did it.
Might double overnight, but.
Could. And then come back down 20% and people can laugh at you.
Yep. But yeah, just consistently pile into Bitcoin, start making it your money, and see what happens. I mean, there's obviously good individual benefits that you're going to get from it, but you're also just like fighting the thing that we've been fighting so long for. That's when, you know, just to tie it back to that we were talking about last week, and I mentioned people freaking out about the immigration and borders and stuff. And I listened to Dave Smith that was on the Human Action podcast.
How was it?
I was kind of unimpressed. I think it's so stupid because it's just, it like comes down to these like weird framings of it that's just making each side try to look bad. Where it's like, so you're saying that like everything, we hold everything equal, you just want to flood the whole country with a bunch of illegal immigrants, as if that like sort of thing has any chance of happening at all. Like, if we like, what if the United States, you know, was in a position where the federal government just was so much weaker that it just said like, hey, we're not really restricting immigration anymore, that you're also not going to simultaneously have this like super welfare state too. Because then the movement of people will be just more dictated by the movings of the market, and you won't have these, you know, these problems coming up and everything. It's just like, I don't know. I'm not saying don't listen to it. I think it was worth it to just kind of hear him flesh his points out a little bit better than, you know, Twitter back and forth. But the thing that I'm going to would push back the most on it is how he was talking about, man, if you come and say like, you're just, cause you're trying to be consistent with your position and say like, well, the way I'm, you know, arguing this point is that, yeah, I would have to let, because it's public property, a heroin user could walk into a school and just like plop himself down in a classroom and shoot up heroin or something, or, you know, the junkie in the park or something. And it's like, that's not good, man. That's not going to win people over. They're going to hear you say that and they're just going to ignore you forever. And it's like, yeah, maybe. But like, I don't think that we win this battle through convincing people that like libertarianism is the way to go and we're going to like vote our way out of it. And someone might say something like, well, look at Argentina. They elected Javier Milei, who's, pretty good. Yeah, pretty good libertarian and enacting a lot of stuff. But that's ignoring the fact that Argentina went through the absolute crapper to get to where they are now. It's not like, you know, it was kind of like held together and then people just like kind of started reading Rothbard and Mises and Hoppe and said like, oh, you know, this actually is a better way of doing it. No, they went through severe inflation. They went through all sorts of economic turmoil and they were left with like no other tool. Like they, it was real bad and they were left with like no other options. And so they're just like, you know what? This is so bad.
Can't be worse.
Right. Let's just gut it. Whereas it feels like there's a lot of people be like, oh, well, we need to like kind of save it, keep things up and just kind of like not let things go too bad. Not that I want the you know, society collapse. I don't think it will. But the point I'm trying to say is that like we're not going to win this through like argumentation and sitting and convincing people en masse that, you know, free markets are the way to go and then the government's evil and terrible and can't solve the economic calculation problem. The way we win this is people just choose the best option before them and there's a better option than being slugs for the state. And this is what we've talked about a lot, is that people are going to adopt Bitcoin as their money, not because they have some sort of economic epiphany. Right. Most people aren't going to understand how Bitcoin works any better than the way they understand how their car works.
Or how the US dollar works.
Right. And that's not a shot at those people. It's they're worried about getting by. They're worried about putting food on their table and providing for their families. And when they see this thing called Bitcoin that is just solving the most basic economic problem that exists, which is dealing with future uncertainty, that's what they're going to start adopting. We have economic laws surrounding this. So the idea, the way that we're going to beat this, the way that we're going to make the immigration question and get to some point of, a society where we're not worried about such a strong government and maybe even get to something that approaches Ancapistan, is not through sitting there and arguing in podcasts and everything. Not that I don't enjoy doing it. Like we do this as a hobby. And so we talk about whatever we want. Sometimes it's talking about the flyers. Sometimes that's talking about, you know, Bitcoin and everything. And sometimes that's, you know, freaking out and throwing hissy fits about someone being wrong about immigration. But like, I'm not sitting here thinking that, oh, if I just spend another, you know, podcast episode talking about immigration or whatever, you know, libertarian topic that I want to, that I'm going to change some minds and going to have some policy differences. No, not at all. And we've been like pretty consistent on this for a while, especially because once we found Bitcoin and understood it, we're like, this is great. We don't have to convince people to be libertarians anymore.
Yeah.
We just advance Bitcoin adoption. And some of that's through some persuasion. Obviously, we have, we talk about it, we care about it, and we've converted some people, which is great. But the real thing, the most important thing we can do to advance it, is to adopt it as our money, and do it that way, and put buy pressure on it, and putting a bottom on that sell price, is that because it's just like, yeah, I'm not getting out of it. I'm using it as my money. And anytime I can get Bitcoin, I'm going to get it. And I'm going to be careful about getting rid of it because I want to hold more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And so driving that adoption, you know, using products and services that are trying, that are helping Bitcoin achieve adoption. I mean, I think that's the most important thing. And that's why, you know, we've the thing I'll rag on Dave Smith, because I mean, whatever, he has a difference of opinion on the borders with me. And I can sit there and say he's wrong about it. But like, that's not the thing that kind of annoys me about guys like him the most, that I disagree about some sort of libertarian topic, because it doesn't matter. Like, the government's not sitting there going like, all right, we're going to decide whether we're going to open the borders fully and go by this libertarian model where we're not going to have any rules for public property. So this means that like crackheads and naked guys are going to go into public schools, or we're going to do like whatever Dave Smith's idea is for controlling the border and public property and everything. And man, whoever just like comes up with a better argument or has a few, who has the most people, that's how we're going to do it. Like it's silly. But what I will like much more like seriously rag him about is you're not talking solutions. And he does a really, really, really good job of talking about a lot of the ills of the state and everything. And talking about the Fed and inflation and everything. But it's just like, oh, every 6 months or so, we'll have a Bitcoin episode. Oh, that's nice. And talk about, oh, this is really great. This is really good. And then just like not talk about it for a while. Meanwhile, he's, you know, has advertisements for gold. So I didn't mean to make this like ripping on Dave Smith. I like him overall, but it's just frustrating because it's like we have, and Dave Smith is just kind of the poster child for this, because you can name your pick of popular libertarians that just kind of like give some lip service every once in a while to Bitcoin. But, you know, for all the problems with the state going crazy, you know, we have a tool that we can opt out and insulate ourselves from it and kill the beast. But that's not what people seem like they want to be doing. They have, you know, they just feels like they'd rather complain. I don't know. Maybe I'm being unfair. But it's frustrating.
I like Dave Smith. I haven't listened to Dave Smith in a long time. But I mean, I like him. I don't know.
No, I like him too, but like that's my bone to pick with a lot of this stuff. It's not that like everything that not every single libertarian podcast or every single libertarian has to like do what we're doing with Bitcoin, but
I think it'd be a lot cooler if they did.
It would be a lot cooler if they did. No, but it would just be, they'd be helping come up with
a solution. Yeah.
Right? And actually, instead
it's
of just.
It's good to talk about all the theory. I mean, like we said, that's what we like. I mean,
I like
doing that stuff. We all like doing that stuff. It's fun.
Right. You have to, but.
Yeah.
If you're talking about the problems all the time and how terrible it is, and there's a solution that's smacking you in the face,
yeah,
talk about that solution sometimes.
Yeah.
So, all right. Before I act like I'm more upset with someone than I actually am, and we said we were done 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
But, we'll wrap it up. Again, this is mcflugel.com/398 for your show notes page. There's not going to be anything posted there. unless you want to click the link to go buy a Liberty mug.
Which you do.
Yes. Which we only accept Bitcoin, and so we're helping advance the Bitcoin
adoption
by doing that. So thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Peace.